This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Known and Never podcast. It is another week, it's another defeat for the Clarets in this really quite miserable Premier League season. We were hoping that the Great Escape was on, we were hoping that we were going to get some good news about points deductions, and we were hoping that by now we'd be at least 1 or 2 points before safety. We are not. We are cut adrift now in the bottom three with Sheffield United, and it looks like a return to the Championship for Vincent Kompany's Clarets. Joining me this week on the analysis show to look back at that game at Goodison Park, fresh from his paternity leave, he is back in work. We dragged him back in as the one and only Rich Steele. We're going to talk about all the talking points from the game and what the rest of the season and the summer holds for our Clarets. So, buckle up. Let's go. Rich, I'm not going to lie. I'm not entirely sure that having a child is justification for not being on the podcast for 3 weeks. How are you, sir? Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you very much. Just want to say, I just want to say as well for our listeners, you know, it's a pleasure to be part of this Known and Never team. I was very kindly spoiled with some lovely presents from the Known and Never team, which I'm very appreciative of. And even though this season's not been a great season, being a Burnley Football Club supporter for me and being part of this podcast, it's not just about what the team does for 90 minutes. It's about being part of a group, part of a community that you can always rely on and have great friendships from. And, you know, supporting Burnley definitely. For me has given me some amazing friendships. And I think that's what we all love about Burnley. It's, even though community. We are coming into the modern era, and we'll talk about that, I think, a bit in this podcast, there's still that real family and community feel to supporting Burnley. So I just want to say a massive, massive thank you for that.
No, you're welcome. Appreciate it. Everyone's favourite Wiganer. You're our adopted son, and you always will be now. You're never getting away from us now. We've got
you. You know what? The amount of times, just maybe with work or different people you meet, they kind of confuse. Some of them think I'm from Burnley and support Wigan. Some people think I'm like from Burnley, but live it all. It's just so I have to know. I'm from Wigan, but I support Burnley. I don't live in Burnley. But why do you support Burnley then? Well, do you really want me to tell you this boring story?
Never mind. We've all been there. We've got you now. That's the main thing. And unfortunately, that means for you that you end up making treks like you did at the weekend across the counties to Goodison Park for that defeat. It was all going very, very well until about 2 minutes into stoppage time, the end of that half. I guess let's just rip the plaster off and go straight there when we talk about that disappointing goal, because it was only a 1-0 defeat in the end. I don't think the second half performance was particularly impressive. It wasn't as good as the first half performance. But we were in the game, and it took again, which has been just the blueprint of so many times this season, a really stupid error to cost us 3 points again.
It's just, how many times can you keep getting kicked in the balls? That's what it felt like. And the amount of times this season that type of
38
thing.
38 probably this season, Rich.
But the amount of individual mistakes, and, you know, the Wolves game happened where we conceded on half time when we was, I felt comfortable in the game on Saturday. And we've been singing Muric's praises. You know, he's done fantastically well since he's come back into the team. And you see that goal go in, and it's just that sinking feeling again. And you could feel the energy drain out of the team. when that happened and the belief drain out of the team. And then second half, we'll discuss that, but it was just a complete lack of belief in the second half. And that, I think, has come from numerous times of being kicked in the balls, I think, a little bit, and not being able to come back from it. And there's been so many individual errors this season, so many team errors when you can look at shape, tactics. And ultimately, I've spoke, obviously, for podcast listeners who know, I work for a company that's based out of Liverpool. Got a lot of close friends who are Everton fans. And a lot of them said to me, you know, Burnley were the better side, which I didn't agree with. But, you know, Burnley played the better football. We knocked it about quite well, which we do. But in both boxes, we're terrible.
Yeah,
terrible,
that's the problem, isn't it?
We don't have any cutting edge. And ultimately, that's why we're going down without a whimper. You know, you look how poor this Everton side have been this season and how poor they were on Saturday. Listen, that was a terrible advert for Premier League football. My word, the quality of it. Both teams were giving the ball away left, right and centre. And if it wasn't for this points deductions for Everton, I think I've done my maths right, we'd be 16 points behind them.
That's which shocking. Is, considering how bad they are, that's terrible.
That's a real damning indictment of how bad we've been this season. And I think we'd be something like 4 to 6. I think we'd be 10 points behind Forest. We're 6 points behind the Luton team, who we'd comfortably come way above. I can't remember, maybe 20 points ahead of last season. And you know, it's just been so disappointing. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're in, you know, first 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, Everton were on, I won't say on top massively, but they were slightly the better team, which you expect. I always kind of say, away from home in a big game, keep it tight for the first 15, 20 minutes. And then after that, we didn't create loads of chances, but we were quite comfortable in the game. We're knocking it about well. Everton had zero threat. We was even defending set pieces quite comfortably. And then, like, Murić had all the time in the world. It's like he's had too much time. And then you just think there's, like, 30 seconds left of the half. Just pump it upfield. Like, even if you find that pass into midfield, you're probably not even going to have time to, you know, get a shot on goal anyway or create an attack. And it's just like, go in 0-0 at half-time, have a little debrief at half-time. Probably know Everton are going to try and come out again the first 5 minutes and then get back to playing your way. And we've kind of, in that moment, when you look at the Everton points deduction today, we just really, that moment there, threw away our chance of staying up. But that one moment encapsulated a whole season in that one moment too. It was just I just felt so flat. And my dad was like, what's he done that? What's he done that for? And was watching it. And I couldn't even like...
Yeah, you just can't get angry about it.
Because it's like, yeah, I wasn't even like angry about that particular moment, because I'm just like, Jesus Christ, it's happened again. There was almost a sense of inevitability about the moment.
Yeah. There's been, like you said before, there's just been chapter after chapter of errors and just self-destructive behaviour this entire season. from all of them. And I think it to me as well, if we move on to the second major point of the game as well, another red card, another sending off for a stupid reason. And it's just, it's like, how many times do you, like, where's your pride in this performance team? Like, why aren't we trying here? And seven red cards. I think I read somewhere today that's the most that any Premier League side has conceded since 2014, 2015. That was Newcastle back then. It was both 7. And I think Chris Bowden tweeted on Saturday that we went something like 237 Premier League games without conceding 7 red cards in all that time. And it's just, there's no, for me, this side lacks discipline.
It lacks accountability as well.
It does.
From the coaching staff to actually like, or maybe from senior players in that dressing room to say, no, what are you doing there? Why, you know, there's been, and I think that lack of accountability on the players, there's a lack of accountability on the manager.
Yes.
From the board. So like, I don't think at any point this season has anyone gone, listen, lads, what are we doing here? Let's just take a
bench.
What are we doing? Let's just take stock and reflect on what we've done. And, you know, people, you know, I've kind of maybe said, you know, O'Shea, it might have been harsh to give him a red. Maybe it was a 50-50 decision. But it's just, it's a terrible touch.
Yeah, don't put yourself in that position in the first place.
And, you know, when O'Shea, I've said my piece on O'Shea in this podcast this year, but I think O'Shea is just like a number of players who is they will have some good games at this level, but they're not consistently good enough for the Premier League game in, game out. Don't get me wrong, like, I know the two really top quality players, and I think Branthwaite's going to go on to, you know, have a really good career. But look at the difference in Everton's centre-halves compared to our centre-halves on Saturday. And I think that's our defence is nowhere near good enough.
Well, look at the defence that went down under Dyche. We've got Pope, Tarkey, Ben Mee, that is the Holy Trinity in the middle. That was we look back then and wonder whether they were good enough to survive. I would give anything for those three back now.
I don't know how to ponder that, but like that season, I think it was on single figures, the amount of times that those three played together because of injuries. I think Tataki on me. I think me was injured a lot of that season. You know, Collins come in. That's Kevin Long played the last few games.
Ben Mee had quite a long injury, didn't he? Because Tarkey was captain for a while.
Ben Mee was practically manager, wasn't he, for the last 10 games?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
So, and you look at our defence and it's just been way off. And when you've got a poor defence and you're asking them to play an open style of football, it's been a recipe for disasters. You know, we can go back to the Wolves free kick. Listen, it was a poor decision by the referee, but I looked at the decision that O'Shea made. So I don't know if people's picked this up, but in the build-up to the free kick being awarded, O'Shea's gone tracking someone to the halfway line, and then he's not won the ball, so he's ended up chasing him back, leaving a massive gap.
Near him. Yeah.
Listen, it wasn't a foul, but we're kind of our architects of our own downfalls. Yeah. We don't see, like, why are you, if you're a centre-half, why are you pressing somebody to the halfway line in the 48th minute? You know, you're asking for trouble, because if you don't win that ball, you're leaving a massive gap. And you can't make those decisions at this level. And,
High press that you keep talking about this season as well. It's like we've insisted on playing it all season and we've not got the personnel to perform it.
And I think I've mentioned to you before, and I mentioned it on the WhatsApp group this morning, it's kind of like in modern football now, it's kind of like a manager has to have one set style of play and they stick to that set style. I don't know if you can hear the baby. They stick to that set style. She's fine. And they stick to that set style game after game after game. They don't mixed it up. So
which,
like,
company's
when we
done
play
this season?
Yeah, of course, and a lot of managers do, and a lot of managers pay. It's like they choose philosophy over results, which I can't get my head around. And managers, I think, manage for the CV now rather than results. So you look at us this season. We got a draw away at Brighton, done okay at Wolves, beat Brentford, done okay against Fulham, the teams who are less physical. But when we come up against a team like Everton, who are very physical and who will play in a low block, it's actually, we've got no chance of winning that game because we're not willing to change it up. And we've not got the personnel to change it up either. So I think there's tactically and individually, we've just been miles off this season. And I think the one thing that's, I knew we'd struggle defensively at times at this level, but I thought we'd have a few more games where we'd might outscore the opposition a bit, like Bournemouth did under Eddie Howe when they'd win games 4-3 or 3-2, and it'd be quite exciting. But we've not even had that. It's been poor, not good enough, ultimately. No, and do you know the one thing that got to me? It wasn't the mistake from Murich, and I put this out on Twitter, and a lot of people liked it, so they've obviously agreed with it. It was like 5 minutes to go, and it was Estev to Burge, to Murich, to
side to side passing
back to the defence, and you're like, we are losing. And then we had like a set, a free kick. You're like, just get the ball into the box, get your centre half,
give yourself
Burge
a chance.
But like, and then it's like, we're just still passing it about. And then the subs he makes, he puts like Gunmanson left back, and like Everton are playing in a low block, and you've got one player on the bench who can actually beat a person in Benson sat on the bench, and you're bringing Gunmanson on. And you're like, what is going on? And then you put Burge to centre-half, and Burge is the one player who can actually break the line through midfield. I'd rather, like, brought Ekdal on and just kept Burge in midfield.
He's made some baffling substitutions all season.
It just doesn't make sense. And then you've got Vitinho, like him or lump him, he's actually been playing quite well on the wing.
Yep.
And then obviously he had to move to fullback because Asenyor was suspended, but then he's out the team. And then you've got Foster, who's a striker, playing central.
What is
and you've got
that?
Oliver, who's a winger, playing central.
Playing central. That was the one for me. I was like, what are you doing?
And you're like, talk about square pegs in round holes. And he's done it so often this season. Odebert, the only thing I can think of is he gone, right, Odebert is poor defensively. He doesn't track runners. So is he gone, well, at least Foster can maybe be a bit more useful defending, especially because Asenyon's quite weak defensively. But then you're like, in the second half when you need a goal, put Odebert on the wing. You've got Seamus Coleman, who must be 87 at fullback and can't run. And you've got Brun Larsen playing against him, who's got no pace. Yeah. You're like, put Odebert, get the ball to Odebert and run it,
yeah,
Coleman,
just...
and get Foster up front. And it's like, Fofana, the last two, don't get me wrong, Fofana scored a few goals, but technically he's horrendous. He's technically awful.
Yeah, he is
ball
poor.
Bounces off him. He dribbles past one play.
His
dribbles
first
two
touch, he's got a foot like a brick. Oh, it's just...
Like a trampoline, Annie, yeah. He's got... And then it's like you keep him on, like against Wolves all game, and you just like, just so there's things there where you just like, and people are going like, oh, you're buying into this project company and the process, but
I don't see it this year at all.
I don't trust this project anymore because it's just same thing game after game, same mistakes of playing people out of position, same defensive mistakes, and it's like we played this structure of a flat back four. 2-3-1 kind of all season, really, with a few little tweaks, not really worked. And he's not tried to change formation at all, go five at the back, even. He's tried that in a couple of games where we've tried to hold on to a lead and it's not worked. But largely, when we're actually chasing a game and we're 1-0 down, he just does like for like subs. He never goes, right, we'll go for two up front. I know that's maybe a bit archaic,
it's not proactive, a change.
No, and then there's like when we're actually doing well in a game. Like West Ham away, he'll change to go five at the back, and then we have no out ball. So there's a naivety about
his tactics at this level, and I think that's where I've got with this one, Rich, is that he's going to do well again next season because he does very well at that in that level of league. The Belgian league is similar to the Championship.
Yeah,
he does very well, and he'll do very well. And his
tactics are more advanced than
what they are in the Premier League. But what already worries me is if we're buying into this project and this plan for Vincent Kompany to deliver sustainable, long-term, top-flight football, unless he can really learn his lessons for this season, he can put that ego to one side. I'm already not looking forward to coming back up under him again.
No, but like, I'd almost be like, do you know what, if he gets us up, sack him. Do you know what
I don't disagree.
I don't think that, but... And it's like, is he going to learn? Is he going to? Because what we have not done, we've not done the basics.
Nope.
There's all this fancy stuff and stuff like we've not done the basics, like set pieces. We do this zonal marking and it doesn't work.
No.
You end up with like players like Amdouni, Vitinho marking centre halves at set pieces. You know, it's like the set piece we conceded against Wolves. Like nobody was near that. Eight Nuri, who's like one of the smallest players on the pitch and he's got a free header.
Yeah.
And it's just like the basics. Like that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Looking forward, obviously, to Kompany managers in the Championship, So like when Kompany come in, it felt like a real change for the club, right? Dyche has gone. This is a new Burnley. This is a new project. It was fresh. It was exciting. Kompany had an energy about him. This season, he looks rattled to me. You know,
yeah,
seen
he
him at Chelsea. Don't get me wrong.
He looks stubborn and a bit obnoxious, doesn't he?
Yeah. And I'm looking at it going, players like Benton and Zaruri and Teller and Mattson. I'm going to come on to another point to give some praise in a minute.
Oh,
kind
good.
Of bought it. Well, not praise, but to look at it from another point
yeah,
of view.
Yeah, yeah.
Bought into this project. But if you're like a player coming to the Championship now wanting to get Burnley into the Premier League, you'll probably be looking at players like Benton and Zaruri going, well, what's the point in going there? Because if we go up, I'm just going to be shipped out on loan. And there's obviously been a lot of toxicity within that dressing room this season. I can't imagine there's not been. Because,
no,
you know, I played in football teams and you have mates in that football team. And look how close that team was. You can't imagine that there's been players from last season who's been happy with the way like Roberts, Zaruri and Benton in particular have been treated. And I'm like, he's not going into this new Championship season fresh now. He's going into it with baggage. He's going into it with wounds.
He's got a lot of work to do. Even the way that he treated Murić at the beginning,
it was awful.
It was awful.
Yeah, he has his like favourites. It's like kind of like Ekdal has one bad game and he's straight out then.
Yeah.
But then like O'Shea can make mistake after mistake and he still gets picked. It's like, so this is where I'm a little bit like just confused with the way he's done things. And like, you know yourself, Nasser, when you've been in a job and you've had a failure, which we've all been, or you've failed on a project, which we've all done, it's very difficult to come back from that. It's very, very difficult.
It takes a while.
And that's where I am.
Second guess yourself all the time and you feel you're scared of making it and you lose a little bit of that edge and that confidence. And that's definitely what this side have got. There's a part of me, I spent a lot of this season questioning this 5-year plan, because to me, they were saying we got promoted 2 years ahead of schedule, you had to trust the process, buy into the project, blah, blah, blah. And I think I challenged this a few months ago and said, well, are we going to lose the entire squad again and bring another 17 players in? Because if that's the case, I'm not sure that story stacks up about the 5-year plan, because you're in a perpetual cycle of new squad learning to play together all new. But actually, at the end of this season, I've probably gone a little bit full circle with that and wonder, actually, do we actually need to start the 5-year plan again? Do we actually need to just rip it up this season and just go, you know what, we've bought poorly, some of those players are terrible, and let's start. Like, we're going to lose. The one player I would want to keep is Sander Berge. There's no way we're going to keep him. Foster, I would love to keep. We're not going to keep him. I still believe in Amdouna. I think somebody will come in for him. I think he absolutely will.
With Foster, whether this is right or wrong, I think his mental health issues will put people off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. You need a good, strong club that have got the same values that we have in protecting the players and looking after them. I still believe in Amdouni. I know he's had a poor season. I think a lot of that is down to the players around him and not playing to his strengths. I think there is a player there. I would love to keep him because I think he will absolutely tear up the Championship next season. But then we've got like Taylor, Court, Brownhill. They're getting too old now. I don't think they're going to. So, in some respects, I'm no longer scared of a wholesale change again in the summer, because I think it might be what we need. And Kompany needs to regain the respect of his fans, and he needs to regain the respect of those players that stay. And I think the thing that's missing for me, Rich, is there's some fundamental values that are missing from this club, from the manager down, and that is pride, professionalism, and hard work and graft. And they are just not there. And you hit the nail on the head when you said before, it's a matter of accountability. If the manager's not demanding this kind of excellence from them, then they can just coast us easy. And one of the worst things that we could have done this season was tell this manager that he had a job for life and that he was under no, because there's been no potential for jeopardy for Vincent Kompany this season. So where's the incentive for him to work harder? There isn't.
To me, I think you covered a lot of really good points, sir. So I'm going to try and go from like beginning till the end and put my points on. The 5-year plan, there's one word for that for me, it's propaganda. So people buy into it.
Right.
And like you said, the 5-year plans, we're back to day one of it essentially, because we're going to have to start again. And you're not going to always do that well on recruitment, as we've proved this summer. You're not always going to. And the second one is players going. So you kind of like, I can't remember who it was, but a journalist said, even though we signed a lot of new players, we still had the core of the dice, a lot of the core of the dice team, which brought the values for Burnley. Cork, Jay, Taylor, Brownhill.
We had Barnes last season.
Barnes. So you still had a good amount of players there, but you lose all them. Where's
there's nobody that's got that. Yeah.
So that worries me. I think Brownhill might stay because he's not too old. Yeah. Brownhill. But the rest will probably go. So I thought it was a really interesting point made that I'd not thought about. It was kind of like, yeah, you had the best of company, but you also had the best of Dyche blended in one. So yeah, it's kind of like all this flow was still subsidised by the old. And what was your last point? I can't remember.
the values, the fundamental values that we're missing.
Well, it's kind of
you've already said that, yeah.
I was saying. Thinking, yeah. So it's kind of like, and then you've got like, you've got three players in particular for me who are very good championship players. You've got Robert, Zaruri and Benson, who two have gone on loan, one's been frozen out. They're going to come back into the fold, but they're not going to give their all.
No.
So what do you do with them three? They're either going to be probably a bit toxic in the dressing room. You're going to have to sell them. So that leaves more positions. Then you've got others like Twine and Amdu, Obafemi, who's kind of like been fobbed off. And you're kind of like, I think it leaves us in a...
Twine's an interesting one, actually, Rich. I would bring Twine back.
Yeah, I would play Twine, yeah.
And but I think Twine will be okay.
But I think it's left us in a position where there's going to be a lot of unhappy people coming back that first day of pre-season, where like you kind of felt company's first day of pre-season, it was a clean slate. He had that big meeting, it was a clean slate. Everybody went in fresh. And now it feels like there's going to be a lot of unhappy people going back into that dressing room. And what frustrates me about this season, I think company's treated this like Football Manager, like a bit of a plaything.
It's been allowed to do, though.
Actually serious. And for two clubs to get deducted four and 8 points, whatever it is, I think it is. And to be way behind them and to not even have a chance of staying up, it's shocking. I've seen people on Twitter trying to defend this season. There's no defending this season.
No, there isn't. And I don't think you can defend this season with any level of credibility.
The Premier League is getting tough. That's one last point for me. The Premier League is getting tougher. I think when we come seventh, you know, 7-8 years ago, it's harder to do that now. Because you look at top class internationals are playing for bottom half teams in the Premier League now. But at the same time, for us to come way short has been disappointing. And the last point I'll make is that second half against Everton, and I don't want to come across a bit Brexit, but where is that real passion and that real will to win that game? To really go, do you know what? We need to win. This is our last chance of staying up.
Who's We've not really, seen it all season.
Who's grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck?
No leader, no captain.
There is no leader and... I'm someone who's competitive. I'll do everything and I don't cheat, but I'll do everything I'm in my power to win. And I've not seen that enough this season from a group of players. No. I've not seen enough where players are like on the haunches at the end of the game, gutted. We've done everything there.
Yeah.
We could still be playing now against Everton and we won't score.
I should go into that dressing room, Rich. Sorry, I'm getting some feedback. I should go into that dressing room and they should play me at Monopoly. Then they'd understand what it takes like the will to live.
Yeah.
Definitely would. Sorry, I was getting a bit of feedback there on our recording. Do you want to just finish that last point off?
No, I think that's just it, really. I just think there's been, as well as being poor tactically, individually, and individual mistakes, poor tactically, I think there's just been a real lack of will to win. Look at how many goals we've conceded late on. Where you've really got to battle and do everything you can to hold on.
Yeah.
I think there was two games where Brentford and Chelsea, we had it and you think, okay, maybe we're turning a bit of a corner. And then Saturday, we just went back to our old ways. And it's kind of a case of leopards don't change the spots.
No, I agree. We've got about 5 minutes left before we wrap up this week's episode. I just want to leave you with something just because I know this is one for another podcast and we're going to try and get some commentary out of the club on this and then we're going to come back and do a special on it because I know this is something that Rich is particularly passionate about. The audited accounts have been published this week, which have put some concerning comments in there about basically the fact that the club is very much being run on a succession business. We are going to be going back to the Championship next season and there is a question mark around the long-term sustainability sustainability of the current business model. Rich, I know you wanted just to air a few thoughts on this before we get some comments. We're going to put it through to the Fan Advisory Board in the next meeting. We're going to try and get some comments. We'll do a bigger pod on this. We can talk about it. But I know this is something you just wanted to raise now, Rich.
Yeah, I think with me for football, I really love the playing side of it, the tactics of it and whatnot. So this is not really within my remit. I don't know a lot about it. But for me, there's too many red flags that have been brought up for it not to be a concern. I think it's kind of like, I think the analogy I use was, it's kind of like getting into a relationship and there's red flags all around you, but you kind of choose to ignore them because you don't really want to acknowledge it. And that's kind of where I am with it. And just obviously, Natalie, you have a bit of a different view on kind of me and some of the other podcast members, is this model seems to be based on success. And if we're successful, we'll be okay. But my worry is if we don't get promoted next season, and once those parachute payments kind of like go off and we've got this debt, ALK don't have any money themselves. Alan Pace is a rich man compared to maybe me and you, but he's not a wealthy man in football terms. I'm kind of like, who's going to pay for the club? That's where my worry comes in.
How are we going to raise the funds to keep it going?
Yeah, like, how are we going to raise the funds to, we're a small club with a small revenue. I appreciate what they're trying to do with the hospitality and the off-the-pitch stuff and raise sponsors, and obviously raise investment through JJ Watt and people like that. But I'm just kind of like, say if it does go a little bit sour, like, is Alan Pace really going to be there to front it all up? I don't know. I think we're putting a lot of trust in someone and in a board who we don't fully know why they bought Burnley. Well, we know because they want to make money. He's obviously said about his dad was a missionary in East Lancashire and he's got this connection to the club, which, listen, you can believe that or you don't have to believe it. But it's kind of my thing is like, I just worry when all this Premier League money goes and parachute payment and TV money goes and all of a sudden you've sold a few players and then you sell your best players to pay off these debts. And then once that money goes, where's the money going to come from to finance?
Where do we get the investment from it? Yeah,
and I think that's a fair question. So.
I do. And it's a question that we're going to put to the Fan Advisory Board for you and ask those questions to know that there are other fans who don't understand it. I think they are legitimate concerns. And I think that the ones, listen, we're not going to get an in-depth answer on this because a lot of the financial runnings of the club are confidential and they are, they don't get released to fans or to the media for very reason. There's not many clubs that do that. But yes, you are right. There is a question mark. And I think if we make the same analogy as to Burnley off the pitch as on the pitch, we needed to dig deep and fight this season when our backs were against the wall and we haven't done, we've just rolled over. So is that running through the entire club? Like, do the board have the grit and determination to pull us through this when the times are tough that they haven't done on the pitch? So we don't have answers now. We are told that the club is being run very, very well. We're being told that we're in much healthier position going down this time than we were the last time we went down, that the club considers itself a Premier League club. And yes, whilst we might need to drop into the Championship every now and again to rebuild, it should be in a position to bounce up and down again. There's question marks around the Super League. Is that going to happen? Do we know there's all sorts of things coming out in the press again now about the I think it's very clear that the current model of the Premier League is not sustainable. So we just need some reassurance from this relative group of strangers who have taken over our club that we can trust them, that this model is legit. So that one is to be continued. And we will report back. We're going to have to wrap up there. We're running out of time for this week's episode. So we're going to leave those things with you. We're going to get question marks answered for you on season ticket uplift and on the financial model and the audited accounts. The next meeting is on the 18th of April. So George, Charlotte and I will report back after that meeting and see where we get to. Rich, you've got about a minute left. Any parting comments for us before we go?
Yeah, it's just, listen, we'll always, this... I think we do this podcast and there'll always be a fantastic group of supporters to back this football club. I'll be there through thick and thin. But at the same time, I think there needs to be I think the fans this season have been fantastic. A lot of other clubs would have been booing left, right and centre. And I don't blame people. And like I said, I want people to be, all I want this end of this season is for like I don't know how it's done is for that company to be properly held accountable. He doesn't get held accountable in the media. He dodges questions. He gives answers that we played okay today. So I just want to see a bit of accountability held by the club. And the same with Pace, really. That what worries me about Pace is when it's great, he's here left, right and centre, isn't he? But when it's not going so good, he withdraws a little bit. So I think that's just what I want. And hopefully we can have a really prosperous future at the football club. There's going to be big challenges ahead.
So. There will, but we will be there to see them. That's all we've got time for, listeners. My thanks as ever go to everybody who has contributed to the making of this podcast, including my colleague Rich for being on the panel this evening, and Burnley's newest podcaster who was just off camera, but making sure she inputted nonetheless. Thanks to producer Matt for putting all this together and the rest of the Known and Never panel for their contribution throughout the week of all of ideas and subjects to talk about. We'll be back on Friday with the previous show with Statman Dave, giving you all the information you need ahead of the Claret's next fixture. And in the meantime, if you've got any comments or suggestions, do drop us a line through the usual social media channels. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the Known and Never podcast. Until next time. The Known and Never podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting nonenever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.